Blog Talk Radio.
MojoBreaks.com.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to the return of Sports Card Live. It has been like, feels like 2 years, but I think it's been like 4 months since we've been on the air, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about, so we're going to cover all of it today, talking about the hobby and different things going on within the hobby, the good, the bad, the ugly, a word I can't even describe, what's going on in this hobby. So we got a lot of decent releases, and we have some bad releases to talk about. So joined by Dan. What's going on, Dan?
What's going on?
And Ryan. What's cracking, Ryan?
Not a whole lot. Watching, it says stock move higher on my screen, so I guess that's a good thing. So
there you go. Well, if you haven't listened to this show before, we, like I said, it's mostly all about sports cards, and we'll act like we're sports experts, and we'll talk about some of the sports as well. But we've had this show going on for, man, off and on for 2-3 years. It even started as the MojoBreak.com podcast, and then we teamed up with Ryan from Sports Card Radio to do Sports Card Live. So we just kind of come on here unfiltered. We kind of give you our honest opinion about stuff, so there may be some negativity. So, but it's kind of usually entertaining negativity, but we call it how it is. We call a spade, so just giving you kind of an intro to the show. Kick it off with a little bit of Top Series 1. I think everybody kind of went wild with it. It's kind of nice every year to see Top Series 1, and brings back some collectors that are kind of had to take that time off between baseball. And there was a good buzz this year with it, and, you know, it is what it is for what it, you know, a great set collector set. What did you think of it, Dan, when you busted some Series 1?
Well, it gets me excited because baseball is right around the corner, so that's always always a good thing, especially being a Giants fan. You know, a little spoiled out here, but it gives us something to look forward to. And, I mean, a flagship, they really don't change it too much. They add some inserts. The auto subjects I didn't really love. The relics are pretty much the same as they had been. The manufactured pins and all that good stuff. I mean, not tons of collectability, but cool stuff. What I really liked is the, I think it's the, what is it, the gallery of, you might be able to help me out here.
Oh, yeah, the little silhouette that looks like
the silhouettes.
Yeah, Top Sterling.
Yeah, it looks like old Top Sterling. Love that design. I've loved that design back when it was Top Sterling. And I always said they should bring that back. So that was cool that they brought that back. They still have the Sparkle cards, which are really, really hard to... extremely hard to point out. But luckily for us, usually it's in the middle of the pack, so that kind of helps out. But, it is what it is. I'm just excited that baseball is right around the corner, so...
Yeah, it does kind of kick it off, and, you know, I'm trying to pick up some of those Giants World Series auto patches, and, you know, even a Brandon Crawford was going for $178. It's crazy. So that's a lot of money. So, I mean, they are, you do get a chance of pulling one in 1 million packs, so maybe I'll just open a bunch of packs, maybe I'll get one. But Brandon Crawford, I think they got Posey in there and stuff, too, so that's what's cool when your team wins the World Series. It gives you a little bit of collectability, a little chase for those World Series auto relics or just the autos and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, one in one million packs is, you know, you got a chance.
I was gonna say that's a hard pull, man.
You know, just gotta keep opening. Gotta keep buying more. So
yeah.
But one of the interesting things that they have done is they've jumped on this brand new genre of sports cards. They've started case breaking tops. It's new. Exciting. Hasn't happened before. They're starting
Tell
off
me about
break a. I know you're. I can see you guys are so intrigued about it. I mean, everybody's like, "Wow, I've never heard of a case break before." But they're doing break a case with tops, and they've inserted them into Series 1. I mean, maybe, some of you guys out there may have pulled it. Basically, all their releases that are coming out this year between Dynasty, Bowman Draft, basically 21 releases. They've got cards inserted by the team. that you can pull and you can break a case with Tops. Now, I don't know if they're going to come to your house and let you break the case or how they're going to do it, but basically it's you get a team in a case break with an upcoming Tops release. So, and what's interesting about it is people are selling these things on eBay for buku bucks. You know, you pull one of those, it's one of, you know, you get...
Tame up.
So you make a little bit of coin on some of those. What do you think about this attempt at getting into the case break industry with Tops? What do you think, Ryan?
Well, it's probably not a bad idea. It's a little something different, maybe. If they're able to pull it off, then it might go pretty well. But you know, we'll see. This is the first year. We'll see if they continue. Maybe they introduce it into football. They don't have very many sports left, so. It's not like they can try this out all over the place. And then they'll keep doing it or do multiple case breaks. That's what I was wondering. Is it just one case, or are they going to open multiple cases? Maybe it's just one case. But I think if they can give some exposure to maybe people like you guys and some other guys who have been doing it for a while, and it's a new way of buying stuff, why not? Maybe it kind of legitimizes it and introduces it to people who maybe haven't tried it or haven't looked at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, and I think, I guess, better late than never, right? I mean, I guess they're at least starting to embrace this side of the industry, realizing that, you know, I don't know what the percentage of sales are on online case breaking, but I'm assuming it's climbing up year by year. You know, I'm assuming it. Yeah, if my guesstimate it was maybe 20% of their sales at this point, but it's climbing by the week, I would think. So that's pretty cool, and I hope they start doing it as a preview, which that's kind of what I heard around the rumor mill, that they're going to start previewing products with it. So they're going to do it Tuesday night. Like Tier 1 comes out on a Wednesday, they're going to preview it Tuesday night so that people can kind of get a look at it and decide if they want to go into their store or buy into a break or something and stuff like that. So I guess that's all good. Dan, what are your thoughts on breaking a case with Tops?
Well, I'm going to try to be positive here. Let's see.
Doing the happy dance?
No, I mean, it's there's a lot of logistics that go into it, and there's a lot of details that go into it, and there's certain things I've seen so far, like the multiplayer or non-sport redemptions. That is going to be a cluster. Trying to explain to somebody who has the Cardinals in a Tier 1 break, well, you're not going to get this. You're not going to get this Matt Carpenter. You're not going to get this Shelby Miller card, because I know you have the team, but somebody else has a multiplayer spot. Now, I understand that spot is going to exist, but trying to explain to somebody on the fly in a live feed is going to be difficult.
Right. Yeah, that was an interesting choice.
There's no way around that. I understand from Top's perspective, they're like, well, it's out there. It's a no-brainer. Come on. That's how we're doing it. But explaining that to somebody in a live feed is going to be impossible. Plus, I don't know who they're going to have running the group breaks, but everybody has different rules of going about doing their own group breaks and
right.
Different ways of going about it. There's no protocol that's been set for anybody. So there's a lot of stuff I'm a little concerned with.
Yeah, I guess.
Plus, I mean, say Breaker A shows up, does a Tier 1 break, you're representing Tops. So
yes.
You're basically going to be an avenue for people to ask you questions about redemptions that are pending, replacement cards. I mean, you are literally at that point, you are working for Tops. You are the closest thing to a voice that a lot of collectors have ever been able to obtain.
So you're saying I can't... You're saying if I break a case for Tops, I can't eat a Gordita Crunch when I'm going through the cards. That's what you're saying.
Well, there's that, but I'm also saying, like, how many questions are these breakers going to get about, I've had a redemption that's like 8 months old or 2 years old. Like, what are you going to do to fix that? I haven't been able to get the hold of anybody at Topps. This is like the only person I can get a hold of. Well, Breaker A doesn't work for Topps, so there's no answer. We can't give you an answer on that. But there's going to be tons of questions like that. That's my
yeah, I could definitely imagine that. I mean, for sure. I mean,
Scotty P, you feel what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying Scotty P. That's what they should have. Break it, dude. That'd be no regrets on redemption. No, I mean, I was just, you know, they're going to have rule. I mean, because they may now have to put it out there in layman's. Like, you can't, you got to have your shoes on. Because, there could be a guy that puts his feet on the table, you know, if he's breaking for Topps. If it's not Topps, what we're referring to, guys out there, is Topps is not going to be break a case with Topps. You're going to be breaking a case with a subcontractor, in a sense, is what I've got the gist of out there. So if you actually pull one of these redemptions, and I don't know how hard they are. We only did one case. Well, we did two cases. But we got one in one case, and it was for the Mets and Finest. So it went to the Mets spot. But the back of it is not a Philadelphia address. It's actually a San Jose address, and no, it's not us. But it is a distributor in San Jose. So you have to send those into them. So Topps is kind of like they're doing it, but basically they're just like, okay, we're going to donate the cases and you guys run with it pretty much. So I don't know if they're going to get involved with the YouTube portion of it or what. So that's going to be
too many. There's already too many moving parts. That's what I don't like about it. So you're expecting the distributor to be able to keep everything in line and make sure everybody gets the right. And then what about redemptions that are still in the product?
Right. What are you going to do?
So let's say the Tampa Bay Rays never get pulled for Dynasty, and there's a Longoria one of one. Is that going to be on the group breaker to hold that card? Because the product has already been broken. Is it going to be on the group breaker to hold that inventory until that card is pulled and expect somewhere down the road that a distributor is going to contact that group breaker and say, okay, you can go ahead and ship it out? And also, is the shipping on the group breaker? Because there's a bunch of liability for the group breaker. Got to make sure the cards get there undamaged.
No, I think you got to come pick it up in San Jose. They're not even shipping it.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Come visit the Niner Stadium. It's right down the street. No, I don't know. What my take is on it is I'm trying to be pleasantly optimistic. But, you know, as me and Dan have done group breaks, we kind of can dissect this. That's the whole point of this show. We're going to dissect it. Maybe if it's in a negative fashion, that's just how it goes. But we're looking through the logistics of this and seeing that maybe, you know, they could have approached a breaker or somebody else. Even if it wasn't us, I mean, who cares? Try to get the logistics of it down before this comes out. It seems like it was rushed, but I will give them the benefit of the doubt. They've been in business for a long time, longer than I've been alive, so maybe they will figure it out at the end of the day. But I'm just using this strictly for show purposes and analyzing it and breaking it down, and that's what we do here. That's why we have a show. So we'll hope that this comes out and it gets delivered the right way. And I do think it's good that they are going to be doing some previews because it does give people a chance to see it going through across the product lines. They may actually have a chase factor because if you're doing Dynasty, because I know there's Dynasty redemptions in there, and say there's a big cut auto pulled of Roger Maris or something, and that card's still in Series 1, and that's a $5,000 card, the redemption's still in Series 1. There may be people going back and buying Series 1. You never know. Just trying to get that redemption card that's still in the pack. So they have kind of introduced that, I think. Whether or not a big card like that gets pulled, who's to say? I don't know. But it might introduce an additional element to buy more Top Series 1, which they probably made 1 million cases of. So there's a lot of it. There's going to be a lot of it out there. Plus retail and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a lot of it. But that's their flagship, so they always make a lot of it, so that's not surprising. So
yeah, I mean, I really haven't seen that many redemptions on eBay.
Right.
I think I've seen maybe about 30 or 40 on eBay.
Yeah.
It's really not that much for like the first full week of release. I mean,
yeah.
After the first week, how many people are going to be opening up Top Series 1? So there's going to be a lot of that stuff sitting on the shelf. So, I mean, if we
right,
were going to see,
they
yeah, if we're
see
a lot of
them,
we'd see them right now.
Right, they may do a finest break with only 8 people that turned in the cards. You never know.
My concern is what do you do with that extra inventory? Like, is that truly going to be on the group breaker to hold onto that, or is that going to get shipped back to the distributor, and it's going to be on the distributor to hold onto that and wait for that redemption card to be redeemed? Does that sound like a nightmare to anybody else?
Oh, it sounds like a nice dream.
Like,
yeah.
Sounds great. Awful, dude. Are you telling me there's nothing that can go wrong?
Nothing. 100%. They're going to complete it the right way.
Let's see. I think there is a question.
I'm 40.
Yeah, well, it looks like you kept that drop. That's good.
I found that one, yeah.
Yeah, what was up with the, I know this is a little off topic, what was up with the intro? Like,
you know, it's weird. Since we hadn't had a show in 3 months or so, maybe longer, Blog Talk Radio said, you know, sorry, we're done with you or something like that. Or I think we changed credit cards here, and they had a credit card on file that was no bueno anymore. So they basically canceled the Blog Talk Radio service, and when they canceled the service, all the files got deleted. So all the, you know, the hard sweat and tears that I put into all the drops and stuff like that, you know, spent a lot of time on those, they're gone. So including the intro. And so then I came in this morning trying to find the intro, and that's all I could find. So that's the reason why.
So moral of the story is, don't use your credit card at Home Depot.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. Yeah, because hackers, yeah, they get into Home Depot, and then they ruin it for the rest of us, damn it. Damn hackers. Well,
I think the redemption, you may know this because the Topps case break redemptions, do you mail them in or do you sign up online?
Strictly snail mail. There's no way to redeem it online, okay. Yes. So you do have to, and if you pull a big one, you may want to put signature, insurance. I mean, you may even want to drive down to San Jose. Like I said, make sure you hand deliver that guy. You know, to make sure that you get your New York Yankee spot in 5-star or dynasty, because you never know with the post office. Those guys are buggers, for sure. I know you guys have had problems. Well, we see a lot of problems with them because we send out a lot of packages, but they have issues sometimes. So that would suck if you sent out your thing and they're like, oh, we didn't get it. And you're like, well, I sent it. What are you gonna do? So
that's another problem. That's a completely different issue. Or what if, and I know we're going to go, I know we got to get off this topic, but what if they print 2 redemptions for the same break, same team?
Well, better yet, what if somebody fakes it?
That's true.
I'm just saying. I think most collectors are good-hearted, but I don't know I didn't, you know, strictly analyze this thing to see if there's serial numbers on there, because there's nothing to scratch off. What if you just, you know, there's some pretty good printers out there. I mean, I hope no one would do this, and I hope I didn't give anybody ideas out there that's listening, because karma comes around. But let's just say that you make one and you're like, I'll just take a chance and send in the Yankees, you know, for Topps Tribute or something. And you get it in first before the actual real one's pulled. Just saying. Hope it doesn't happen. Knock on wood.
Just saying.
No, but I didn't want to move on to that. I wanted to move on to this. I got to cut it real quick because we could probably get sued for using that. So I think I got 11 seconds before I cut it off. But I wanted to talk about Star Wars Masterwork. Came out yesterday. Not a huge Star Wars guy. Watched the first 3 episodes or the first 3 movies back when I was a kid. Didn't really get into the new ones. But Topps made and came out with yesterday, released yesterday, 2015 Topps Star Wars Masterwork. And stuff is jumping. I have to give credit to them. I think there was definitely a need for a semi-high-end Star Wars set with autographs of pretty much everybody you would want. These things are killing it. on the secondary market. Cases have jumped already way all the way up to 250 a box. I think pre-order was 160, 170 a box. Boxes are going for 250. Sorry, Darth Maul, one of one. They have sketch cards in there. So there's normally the pack breakdown is at least one auto, sometimes two. And then there is a like a relic, either from the movie or a manufactured relic, and then a sketch card. And they've used some of the better artists. And there was a Darth Maul one of one that went for like $1,200, just a sketch card. Harrison Ford autographed as Han Solo sold for $2,000 on a buy it now. Crazy. I mean, you got some really diehard Star Wars collectors that there was a need for this set, and I think it just jumped. It's crazy. I mean, Carrie Fisher Leaf Auto sells for like $20, but if you put her with a Princess Leia, you know, with the little hoop hair and everything, $400, easy. Same thing with Mark Hamill. What has Mark Hamill done since Luke Skywalker? Nothing. Put an auto on there, Luke Skywalker, boom, $700. Craziness. So and if you go on one of the popular forums, Blowout Forums, there's a 60, 70-page thread about Star Wars. So it is popping, and it's crazy. So and the cards look nice. They did a good job with Star Wars. We did three boxes yesterday. I actually pulled a Carrie Fisher Princess Leia in the last box. So that was nice. And the base cards are about 100 point, and they're real nice. They got inserts that sell. Some of the base cards are selling for $10. So it's pretty crazy. Ryan, have you ever looked at any of the Star Wars cards or collected any of the Star Wars cards? We may have lost. Are you there?
Oh, you got me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Oh, my bad. I know a little bit about Star Wars. I have a website about the action toys that can be popular. The cards, I mean, like you said, you know, you put Star Wars on it, you put the autograph on it, and the actor who's, you know, probably a C-level actor right now, all of a sudden, you know, it's worth $500-$600. So I could definitely see that. I mean, people are paying thousands of dollars for Chris Bryant cards, and people wouldn't recognize the guy if he passed them by on the street. So I guess it doesn't – nothing surprises me in entertainment or music or, you know, I would pay $1,000 for an Eddie Vedder Topps autograph right now on card. That was nice. I would pay instantly, snap, $1,000 for one right now. So I don't really – I think when it comes to something as popular as Star Wars and those kinds of things, I don't think anything should surprise people. I know the action toys are really those are popular from the 80s and 90s and stuff, and you can even get them graded now like you can cards and stuff. So there's a real collectability factor to pretty much anything regards to Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see. I mean, I'm looking at a Mark Hamill right here with bids. It's numbered to 28, so they have non-numbered versions. They have numbered versions. I believe they even have 101s. $825 for a Mark Hamill auto.
Ooh,
craziness. That is...
Wow.
It's crazy. So, I mean, there's some guys, I think that this has kind of been anticipated for a while, a set like this for Star Wars where they're guaranteed hits, because I know they've done the base thing. It's really hard to get some of the autographs and stuff like this. But with one autograph promise per box, I think people are just really taking to this. So Topps did a good job with it. I got to give them credit. They, you know, maybe it wasn't that hard to do because it's all, you know, groundwork's laid there. You just have to have a license. But they made it what they needed to make it. So they did a really good job with it. So. I know, Dan, you're a huge Star Wars fan, right?
Yeah, I love it. No, I mean...
You're probably wearing your Darth Vader mask right now.
Well, you know me. No, I mean, I just never really got into it. I have no issue with it. I've seen one movie back when I was a kid, back in the day. I mean, I know all the actors. I know a little bit about it, but it's crazy. And it looks like, I mean... Looks like they made a fair amount of it. I know Topps has come out with other Star Wars products that didn't really skyrocket like this. And this is basically the same thing as a museum collection. It's like the same packaging. I think it only has – you're guaranteed like one autograph, right? One autograph per master box.
Yeah, I think we pulled two in one of the boxes we opened yesterday. But yeah, you're at least getting one.
What they did on these, is that the sketch cards actually have the artist autograph on the back.
Right.
Which I don't remember seeing that. It's kind of cool.
No, it's kind of cool, and I think some of the they have some chintzy looking ones that are like you know, black and white. Obviously, the guy busted out, you know, like 5 minutes or something. But they have like the full color, like the Darth Maul that sold for $1,200. Whether or not the guy paid is, I don't know. But it shows that it sold for $1,200. It was full color. It was a really nice drawing. I mean, this guy was amazing. So
I saw that on eBay. That was a really, really nice sketch card.
I don't know if they come out of the same packs, but they actually even have like you can get two sketch cards, put them together, and it makes one photo. So it's like double the size, and there was one that sold for a lot on there. Like I said, I don't know if it comes from the same pack, but the guy had both of them, so that was kind of cool. So it's like a puzzle, in a sense.
What is that, you think that opens up Tops to do anything else like this? Like maybe like a Lord of the Rings or something like
that? I don't
know,
you know, they've done Star Wars for years, and the cards have sold well. I know they do wrestling, which is more sports, but they do have some of those spin-off sets. What do you think about it, Ryan? What do you think about Tops dabbling into other stuff, and do they have other products that maybe we're not mentioning?
They probably need to start doing it a lot more. You're not going to make football. You're not going to make basketball. You're not going to make hockey. I mean, you've got to dip into this entertainment stuff. So I think it's smart. You know, they can't overproduce it. They can't oversaturate it like they have cards. So hopefully they protect it a little more, protect the brand more. They've got to try something. They're certainly trying a lot of it with the digital. I think that's opening a lot of people's eyes, that they're spending a lot more on these apps and games and so forth than they are the cards themselves. You know, when you hire a general manager and you hire a guy to your board who know nothing about sports cards, that should... I know the common collector out there that's not going to mean anything to them, but that's probably $500,000 that they spent on those two guys alone, and neither of those guys are going to bring any value to sports cards. So you can see where all the money is going. It's going actually away from the cards and going into other things, maybe like Star Wars and, of course, the digital apps. So if Topps products aren't as good or Topps products aren't as desirable, their sports offerings, it's because they're simply not putting in that investment. They're not bringing in talent to work on those sets. I actually think they're going away from all the sports stuff. So I actually think baseball is going to be a disaster this year, much like the football was. But I'm probably in the minority of people who think that. I think all of their products, unless a rookie blows up, Chris Bryant comes in and saves them, some prospect blows up and saves them, I think it's going to be a disastrous year for all the baseball. But maybe things like Star Wars double in value, some of the other stuff, you know, they get a lot of downloads on their app or whatever, and people are buying digital cards. Maybe that'll save them. But I think the card market's going to be really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I could see. I hope it's not that way, obviously. But, you know, I could see that the lack of effort in the football releases, which we'll get into soon, talking about their football releases. I know this is a sports card lab, but I wanted to hit on one more thing when it comes to entertainment cards. How did Topps let, if I'm looking at Sons of Anarchy here, which is Cryptozoic, and, I mean, their stuff is going. I mean, there's a piece of an oxygen tank of some guy. I'm not familiar with the show. Didn't watch it. I want to watch it when I have some time. But there's an oxygen tank of some guy, Relic. I don't even think it's numbered from what I could see. Piney Winston. It sold for $345, just a relic of this guy. How did Topps, let some of these shows get away? Do they just not want to put the effort into the show? I mean, because there's some of these shows like Walking Dead and Sons of Anarchy and Big Bang Theory that Cryptozoic's put out that's just killed it. Why do you think some of these bigger manufacturers aren't interested in these shows? Take it for Ryan.
Maybe it's just too small. There is an interest in it, but it's just too niche. That Star
right.
Wars has a broad appeal. Baseball, you know, the sports have a broad appeal, but maybe these shows are just too, I don't know, a lot of people watch them, though. I mean, millions of people watch them, and Netflix, and people are watching them after the fact. I don't know, maybe it's just too much money, maybe they don't have I don't think they physically have the talent there to execute these things and pull these things off. I think, that's not where they're producing cards is not where they're spending their money these days. Their apps are freaking sick. I mean, amazing. Yeah. They've spent millions of – I mean, if they spent the type of money they spent on these apps on sports cards, you'd be getting an on-card autograph out of every pack.
So do you think that's why we've seen a little bit decline in their – because if you – for you guys that maybe are new to this hobby, and we're talking strictly on tops, we'll kind of cover some Panini products here lately – or after that. But their products on the wholesale level pretty much this year, all of them have went down, which in 2012, before that, tops was the only one that was going up. So what happened? And so is it the money being invested into the digital? Is that the direct correlation, you think?
They hired some very key people, a chief operating officer and a chief financial officer, who know nothing about cards, don't care about cards, don't care about collectors, period. These guys care about making money. They're definitely probably trying to sell the company, and they're trying to get a tech valuation. You see what Twitter's worth now. You see what all these websites are worth. You know, it's like we're back in the mid-90s in San Jose, and you could start a website and get $100 million for it. That's what,
right.
You know, we're starting to see those valuations. So Topps, they know a baseball card company is worth zero, pretty much. No, you know, it's like trying to sell a Beanie Babies website. It's like Blockbuster Video. You know, Topps and Blockbuster Video are very similar companies, but if they can spin it that, oh, wait, we have these apps. We have this digital thing. Look, it's changing. The whole world is changing. We have these really games that millions of people play. Then all of a sudden they could get a tech valuation.
Right.
They go to sell the company or they go to raise money. They can say, no, we're not a card company. We're a game company, essentially. That's what they're trying to do. They're not going to come out and say that. They're not going to tell people that. They're not going to put the card in Series 1 explaining what they're doing. But that's exactly what's happening. So why Topps Chrome Football was crappy, and pretty much across the board, Topps products were pretty brutal for football. I think that we're starting to see why. They're just pivoting the business. They're not going to spend as much money on cards. It's going to be more about making these games. So that's got to hit for them.
Yeah, and Topps Chrome Football is good every year, pretty much. I mean, for the most part. They didn't really need to change the formula, but what I see happened was, all right, well, let's water it down. Let's make more. We got this many pre-orders in. I mean, and I know guys that were ordering 50, 100, 150 cases. That's what I've heard out there. I mean, of Topps Chrome Football, and 6 months prior, you know, 6 months before it releases. So if you guys don't know out there, when you're ordering product from these manufacturers, well, actually, we don't even order from the manufacturer. We order from distributors. For Topps, you usually got to turn in how much you want 6 to 7 months prior. So when they're pitching Topps Chrome to us, it's fresh off the draft. Johnny Manziel. I mean, there hasn't been somebody like Johnny Manziel. Everybody's saying this is going to be like 2012 all over again. Andrew Luck, you know, Johnny Manziel is going to be the next. We got Teddy Bridgewater, Blake Bortles. You got, you know, all these guys. It's going to be crazy, crazy demand. So everybody went, okay, I lost out on 2012 because I didn't order enough product, and I saw the product skyrocket, and I was unable to get Topps Chrome at $140 a box. So they, everybody's like, okay, at $56 pre-sale, I'm going to order freaking, you know, 40, 50, 60 cases, and I'm going to be able to, I'm not even going to have to sell to customers. I'm just going to sell it on eBay or something, and I'm going to triple my money because the stuff's going to go up because this rookie class is so good. So the numbers went way up out the door, and Topps was like, wow, you know, we got, you know, 500,000 cases on pre-order. This is crazy. I'm just making up a number. I don't know the actual number. So what they did is they made even more. They're like, okay, well, let's get more 6th, 7th round autos in there. Or like, let's make more. They made so much that, and I'm not joking, we opened probably 20 cases, not one Johnny Manziel auto, not one Teddy Bridgewater auto, not one Blake Bortles auto. I think we pulled one Odell Beckham, and it was an insert auto. I mean, you just cannot – I mean, it makes me think that they only put like 20 of each of these guys in there. So not only did they water it down with the 6th and 7th round autos, they probably only had Bridgewater, Manziel, and these guys only maybe signed 100 autos for the product. So it's that hard to obtain their autos, which is crazy. So they broke the formula of success for that product. And now the product's down to – you could buy it on Blowout for $36. And I'm telling you, we pre-sold it at $56. That is crazy. I mean, that's crazy how bad that product is and the legacy of that product. That you really have to try to mess it up. And they did. They messed it up. So, I mean, all they had to do was stick to the formula. And maybe, I mean, shoot, if they wanted to, why don't they raise the price $5 but keep the content the same? I don't know. And then that way they don't have to
make
the cases.
Those pre-order numbers were so high that they justified making Bowman Chrome.
Right.
And Bowman Chrome, let's talk about Bowman Chrome a little bit.
That was pretty much
the same thing, except instead of getting on-card autos, we're going to give you sticker autos instead.
Right, because they
what it was.
They gave the guys carpal tunnel for Topps Chrome, the 6th and 7th round guys, so they had to send them stickers on this one. They said, oh, just sign it at your home because it's too much. It's too much auto.
Yeah, I'm glad. If we would have done a show after Bowman Chrome was released, that would have been fun.
There would have been a lot of explicit. Would have been a lot of explicit. Explicit. It would have been bad.
I mean, I was in shock. I was like, really? I'm like, what made them justify doing this? And then I'm like, oh, it was the inflated pre-order numbers from Topps Chrome. They were like, let's do it. Let's print up another product. Let's make some more money. Because that's what it was. I mean,
right.
That product, I think, is down to about the same as Topps Chrome. I think it's like in the high 30s.
Well, you know, and the silver lining, I was thinking about it this morning, because I know getting onto this show, there's going to be a lot of doom and gloom when it comes to the Topps products. So I was thinking about what is the silver lining with what they did. And I think what the silver lining is some of the singles of the hard-to-obtain guys did get a little bit more attention on the secondary market. And I think a lot of guys weren't buying boxes because they just didn't want the risk. They didn't want the 6th, 7th round autos in their boxes. So instead of spending, and I'm talking about guys that maybe didn't pre-order, that were like waiting for it to come out, see if it's good, and then they were going to order a case. So instead of ordering a case, they just said, oh, I'm going to take my money and spend it on the secondary market. I'm just going to get the guys I wanted. You know what I mean? Because they know it's going to be so hard to get the guys in the box that they want. So they took that money to eBay. So I think the silver lining here is when the product does go bad, I think you see a little bit of bump in the secondary market, if that makes any sense. Because I think the guys that take the money, they're going to take the money to eBay. They're not going to, you know what I mean? They're not going to gamble on a case, even if it's $400 as opposed to $600. So that's the
and we've talked about that before. I mean, when there is a silver lining when they do overproduce, and that is the fact that they always hold back the marquee guys. So if you get a marquee auto, and we were telling people while we were opening up Topps Chrome, like if you get a Bridgewater, Manziel, Garoppolo, Bortles autograph, don't sell it for $50.
Yeah.
Get a premium for it because they're really, really hard to pull. So, yeah. I mean, we were saying that while we were opening up the product. We're like, if we pull something big.
Yeah, well, that's probably a great opportunity to flip. Because these case breakers, guys, when I mean case breakers, I mean guys that rip and resell. They were dumping 99-cent auctions on, and you probably could have picked up a Garoppolo for a good price if you would have set your bid right and then maybe turned around and doubled your money later on when people realized how hard it was to fill. That would probably be a good opportunity to rip and flip there for sure, or buy and flip, I should say, not rip and flip. So, so Topps is doing their thing with football, and I can't remember a great release this year with football yet. I hope Museum and Five Star closed out the year strong. That's my hope. But Panini's done a really good job, and I don't know if it's the fact that Topps has been so bad, so it makes Panini look that much better, but I have to give kudos to Panini with Contenders because everybody wants it. The good guys are coming out. The product is still readily available. So they have, and the product is still staying where it's at. It hasn't skyrocketed yet. So, and maybe that'll change. But it's the perfect formula of enough product and enough of the good guys coming out, in my opinion. I think they did a really good job with that, and they should keep that same formula going forward and not ever try to water it down.
But they're also having it's starting to bite them the way they're doing pre-orders, because they're starting to do pre-orders. They used to do pre-orders 4 months in advance, and now they're doing pre-orders like a month and a half in advance, and they're not getting tons of numbers. That doesn't give you enough time to sell a product and figure out what how much you're going to have to make.
Right.
So they're just, they are basically making the product and then selling it. So
right.
they're pretty much being stuck with a bunch of product. Crown
but
Royale.
That could also be,
I mean,
I think that's a direct reflection of Topps, because Topps ate up such of the, so much of the market with Topps Chrome that I don't think people realize how, that Crown Royale was decent. So nobody ordered Crown Royale.
No, Crown Royale was really good, but when Panini is doing a promo on their site, and you basically get, like, you buy, for every $100 you spend, you get, like, an extra pack, so you buy four Crown Royales, and you get whatever packs, that whatever promo packs they were doing a couple weeks ago. They're doing that to alleviate some of the stock that they have on hand.
Right, which is a great
that
deal.
That is just a prime example of they produced a lot more than distributors were willing to take on.
Yeah.
They're just not, they're not trying to, I mean, Panini does have some pretty smart marketing tactics at times.
Well, I mean, what I like about Panini recently, and keep in mind out there, people, Panini basically bought Donruss and about 5 years ago now. So there was a lot of haters, and there still is for Panini. But if you look at a product like National Treasures, you have like 100 different designs. So there's a lot of effort that went into that product, and a lot of effort in signing guys and getting guys autos. Even if there are only 10 Buster Posey autos in the set, he's in there. So there was a lot of effort where you look at Topps' designs, there's like three or four designs across the product line. You know what I mean? So it seems like there is less desire or wanting to make the product good with Topps right now than there is with Panini. It really seems like Panini is looking at the constructive criticism, what do we need to make this product better? And they're using it, at least for Contenders and National Treasures so far. And I can even say the same with Gold Standard Basketball. Gold Standard Basketball was good. So it's like Panini's turning the page on some of that stuff as opposed to Topps being not trying. So that's where we're at this day. Now, 3 months from now, maybe it'll change. But, I mean, bottom line, you got to make cards that people want to buy. And the secondary market's still good on a lot of this stuff. So, you know, but you can't water things down, I think, is the main thing. I did want to move on past this one and talk a little bit about what now that we've seen the reward points with Panini, what we all think about it, and talk about redemptions with Topps and things like that. But I did get – this is kind of an old phone call that was sent in to us several years ago that we've played on the show before, but I wanted to play this for you guys. And it's a customer service phone call with about redemption, so you'll see.
Car company customer service, how can I help you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have like 20 outstanding redemptions, and there's one very important one I'm trying to get for my PC. It's at a Julio Jones auto. It's been sitting there for a year. I have not heard anything from you guys, and it's very important to get for my PC. I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan, so if I can't get that, I would like to get like a Matt Ryan, Roddy White, you know, somebody on the Falcons to replace it. So I wanted to see what you guys can do and offer in terms of replacements.
Well, thank you, sir. We do somewhat appreciate your phone call, but we want to let you know the reason for the delay is that we've been printing new cards, and we just really haven't had the time to access your account. So if you could just wait in line, and we'll look for replacements for you, okay?
Well, this whole process has been super frustrating. I mean, I've had to wait. I mean, you have my money already, so I really would like to get this resolved, especially since I called in right now. Can you please look into this? While I'm on the phone, maybe give me a few options on what cards you do have available so that I can go ahead and get these things shipped and add it to my PC.
Okay, well, we do value your business. How's a $9 gift certificate sound? You could use it at an online store.
That's a joke, right? Are you serious with that? You guys charge $15 to ship, so it wouldn't even cover the shipping. Come on, I want a replacement auto of some sort. I want to know what my options are, so if you could please check for me and give me some options, that would be great.
Well, okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold and see what I can do, and check out our new hold song. It really says a lot about our customer service. So I will put you on hold, and we'll get right back on the line with a great replacement for you.
Great. Thank you.
We care a lot about the
some lady in the mailroom and my boss about what we can do to make you happy today, because we do value your business. So we're going to go ahead and send you a number to 1500, former first overall pick, Ryan Leaf. Yeah, that's going to be a staple to your PC, cornerstone.
What? No. No. No way. You still have those lying around, for one? Come on, man. Are you serious? Ryan Leaf? No. You got to give me something else.
Well, sir, I knew you'd be ecstatic. I'd like to thank you again for calling us and appreciate your business. We'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf out to you right away.
Ecstatic? I'm freaking pissed. Ryan Leaf? Have you seen Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf doesn't even know who Ryan Leaf is anymore. God, no, I will not accept that card. I will never do business with you guys again if you send me that card. Like, seriously, I told you an Atlanta Falcons card of some sort. I don't even care. It could be an offensive lineman at this point. I'll take anything, just not Ryan Leaf.
Sir, sounds like we're going through a tunnel.
Tunnel? You're on a landline.
I can't make out what you're saying, so we'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf card out to you. Thank you again for all your support.
So we're back. And that was sent in from us about a couple years ago about redemption policy. So still really much hasn't changed since then, with mainly Tops. I keep hearing a lot of stories. I mean, I hear some good ones, but I hear it's really hard to get a hold of the people. And we hope that changes. Maybe the summit will – maybe they'll listen to us again and give us a free auto of some sorts to shut up. But I wanted to get into I wanted to get into the Panini points, which was supposed to be the savior of redemptions. And I wanted to kind of get into that. We could start with Dan. What do you think now? It's been what, like maybe 6-7 months with the Panini reward points. What do you think about them, and what do you think they should do going forward?
Well, you've seen it change since it was introduced. It was introduced, I think last March it was introduced, and it truly was at first replacing an autograph. Where and after everybody was seeing what they were putting up there, and what how many points you had to obtain to get an autograph, it didn't truly replace an autograph. If you could take your 150 points that replaced an autograph, and you can get some kind of single color relic of like, I don't know, just some rookie, some random player, like a Ryan, let's just say Ryan Swope, like a Ryan Swope relic. So it wasn't, you were actually not getting an autograph. You'd have to save up, I think, like 350 points minimum, 500 points, 600 points, something like that, to get something decent. And that was replacing the hit in every box that you'd get a point card.
In the beginning, now
it's actually, if you get a rewards card, it's actually an added hit. Because especially in contenders, it's been actually like an added hit in the box. Like you'd be getting six hits at that point. And they have been adding some new stuff. And again, in theory, it could have been a really good idea. I just don't think the follow-through was that great.
But yeah, they definitely morphed. I'm going on there now. I'm going. There's a lot of 150 autos.
Don't get used to it, because I'm pretty sure it's going to go away.
Yeah.
I can't see them doing it again in another year. I think it was a trial. I don't think it worked. I think it could have worked if they would have hashed out some of the logistics and maybe put up some new stuff, like some of the cards that they couldn't get, some of the autographs they couldn't get into certain sets, like Martavis Bryant and contenders. Like, that's how you add value.
Well, here's the issue. They are doing that. They are doing that, because I'm looking on there now. There's Lake Seastrunk, I'm certified, Cody Hoffman, Greg Robinson. So guys that weren't in the set are now on Panini Rewards, which you could get for 150, which is nice. Jason Morrow, Devontae Freeman. The problem is Billy texts me. If you don't know Billy, he breaks with MojoBreak.com. He had 5,000 or 6,000 points. He went on in the morning And they put some contenders autos up of Aaron Donald, who somehow won the Defensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know how. But he won the Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's a Ram. I don't know how they gave it to him. So they gave it
That's why he won it.
Aaron Donald.
He won it because he was a Ram.
So they put up – maybe. Ram it. They put up Aaron Donald contenders autos and Jerick McKinnon's contenders autos and a couple dual autos. And he texted me. And by the time he texted me, they were gone. So – anytime they put anything in high demand, I think there's people that literally stalk Panini's website. You know what I mean? They go on there all day, and they click, and they click, and they click, and they click. So it's really hard to, if you're a person that's super busy, that maybe only has time to check at night or maybe once a week, and you have all these points sitting there, because I have 5,000 points, and I've been waiting for something good, and by the time I go on there, I mean, there's some decent stuff, but all the really, really, really good stuff that they put on there is gone. So
you get a really nice Ryan Slope.
there's some gold. There's like a gold. There's Jerick McKinnon up there from Crown Royale right now. Jimmy Ward from Crown Royale. I might have to pick up a Jimmy Ward from a PC. So they actually just put, looks like, about 200 cards today. So I don't know if they've already been sifted through, because I don't really see a big name on there. But there's a Lorenzo Talaferro for 150 points. John Brown for 250 points. These are from Crown Royale. They're the silhouette without the.
It looks like they've just obtained like a lot more inventory. But at first, when they first released it, it was slim pickings on the reward site. I mean, there was nothing really decent.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe they're starting to get some of these cards back. They're getting the ball rolling on it. But why don't they include some of their? Why don't they hold back some of their, like, Father's Day autos and put those?
I mean, maybe something they could do forward for going forward.
I mean, they wouldn't have to wait until football season's over.
Right.
Like,
well, I think that's why you're seeing an influx of autos of football guys, because they're able to sign now. But there's a lot of Prism Perennial Draft Picks autos on there now, too. So maybe it was something that they struck a deal with these guys and they finally got some of them in. I don't know. So,
yeah.
What are your thoughts, Ryan? I mean, have you used the Panini Rewards site yet for anything, or?
No, not at all. I think it's interesting. I remember the reaction to it right when it got first announced, and you know, people were, you know, from the reaction, you thought it was going to save the hobby, that you know, it was going to pump hundreds of millions of dollars into the industry somehow. I think it was just they announced it right before they handed out black boxes, which are like $500 freebies. They give it the Vegas Summit. So I think this year, I hope people are wary. Whatever they announce at the summit or whatever, keep in mind that people are going to get a free $500 box right after that. So I think people were just excited and maybe a little overwhelmed, you know what I mean, at the moment. Right when I first heard it, I was like, great. They're trying to save themselves money. You don't have to hire as many customer service employees. They're charging you for shipping. They don't have to insert. They don't have to honor you anything. They're just giving you points, and now you have to go do. You know, it's saving them a lot of costs. That's the way I looked at it. From a business perspective, it was beautiful, and the way they presented it, and people ate it up. Like, people who are supposedly smart people in the industry kind of ate it up that this was going to be a good thing. And I'm thinking, I don't want to open up cards and get points. And pay $100 for a box and get points. That's why you don't see a lot of people collecting cards nowadays. It is kind of a degenerate gambling kind of thing, chasing cards, chasing the next thing, chasing the next big thing. But nobody in their right mind wants to pay $100 for stuff. I don't want to pay $100 for a PlayStation and I can't play it for 3 weeks, or I get points. You know, instead of a game, I get points. Then I got to go log in and now I got to get charged for shipping. You know, when you really step away and look at it, it's just a way for them to save money.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny that you mentioned the shipping. I mean, I kind of get it from their perspective. I mean, but at the same time, I don't, because you bought the pack, so you're supposed to get that anyway. But the thing that it's deterred me from, and I bought some points because I wanted to experience it and relay it to my customers. And I also wanted to get stuff for myself. I'm not going to lie. But I went on there, and so I found like a Jimmy Ward right now for 150 points. So I'm like, okay, cool, I'm going to get that. But then it's like the $4 shipping deters me, so I'm like, I want to wait for another card. I want to wait for another card. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, I got to do, because it's $4 shipping if you get like five cards shipped to you or if you get one. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to wait. And so now I've waited like a month because I haven't spent it because I haven't found more than one card that I want. So my points are just sitting there at this point. So that's the thing that for me, you know, it's like I don't want the one card. I want, you know, several, or I want that one really big card that they put up. If I can somehow get like a low numbered Jimmy Ward or, you know, a National Treasures Jimmy, somebody for the Niners or the Giants or something that's on there that I can get and use my points for at one shot, I'm not going to just use it, you know, my 150 at one time and pay $4 shipping. So that's what's deterred me. But I did actually order three Davante Adams from Freshman Fabrics, or from Certified, I'm sorry. It's the Freshman Fabric design. They're numbered to $6.99. They were 250 points each, and I got three of them, and that was shipped at $4. And it's funny, they're all consecutive numbering. So I got the 611, the 612, and the 613 out of $6.99, all shipped to me. So that's kind of interesting.
That's cool.
So, I mean, that was, I don't know what they'll sell for. I don't know if it worked out. So we'll see.
I mean, that's good that they're doing the combined shipping. I mean, that's, you have a lot of points. I mean, that's the way you want to do it, is by multiple. Because you didn't pay $12 shipping for the Davante Adams, did you? It was just $4.
No, I just paid $4. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a limit. I don't know if you do 20, if they're still going to charge you $4. I don't know that, so maybe that's something I can figure out at some point. But, yeah, it was literally either 4 for 1 or 4 for all. Well, for the 3 at least. So we'll see if there's a threshold. Like, if you get up to 10, they're going to charge you more.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I mean, just my thing with it is like, I don't know how they can, like, the better stuff that they do put up, because they have put better stuff on there. That's why people, like, only see crap stuff, because the moment they put better stuff on there, it's gone. So is there a way for them to, like, offer it to everybody somehow? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I don't.
And the first couple products, they were putting, like, in Contenders, they were still putting a lot of the marquee guys, the rookie premier guys, as true redemptions.
Right.
So you had, like, Carlos Hyde as a redemption, Dree Archer as a redemption, Moncrief as a redemption, where you didn't have that in the first couple runs of the Panini rewards. It was just like, and that was the whole issue. That was my biggest issue. I'm like, what is this reward card? Who is it replacing? Is it replacing Trey Mason? Is it replacing Moncrief? Who is it replacing? Because you'd have to find out who isn't in the product. You'd be like, okay, it's replacing that player. That sucks. Because as a Rams fan, if I know that Trey Mason's not in the product and it's going to be a rewards point, I'm not going to buy that product.
Yeah.
But now what they've done in the newer releases, they've kept the redemptions in there. They just add the points.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Also, Trevor, we'll get to Trevor's question, but James has a question about what about an auction component on there? That may actually give, like, if they put up, because they're going to, at some point, I believe they're going to put up Martavis Bryant Contenders, which is going to pretty much be, yeah, everybody's going to want one. So, you know, do they do, like, an auction component where you can, you know, bet your points or something? That might be a way to get everybody to see it or try it. So, but then who's to say somebody's not willing to spend 7,000 points for one Martavis Bryant base auto, which would be crazy. So, but that is that's a good point to give it maybe, or maybe like a waiting list where you sign up. I don't know. That might piss people off. But like Martavis Bryant, who wants one? We got, okay, well now there's 800 people in demand for it. And we have 500. So we have to basically determine who's not getting it or something. I don't know.
I like the idea of an auction.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to have, in order to place a bid on points, you'd have to have X amount of points in your account.
Yeah,
you couldn't be able to put like a 2,000 point bid and like have 150 points in your account. That'd be a disaster.
Right. Right.
Or I mean, you make up the points in money. Like, they put a monetary value on points.
I don't think they could do that. Yeah, that probably wouldn't be legal, but you could readily buy them on eBay. So tell you that I spent about $170 on 7,500 points. So that's about the value they are. I don't know if I overpaid or what, but I didn't do auctions. I just did buy it now. So I probably did overpay a little bit. So I am trying to determine my whole strategy here, because the reward cards we pull on our break obviously go to people. So I don't get a shot at those unless I open a box myself, which I've had a few of those. So my whole point is at the end of the day, you know, to see if I got $170 worth of cards out of my 7,500 points. So just to see if it's going to work out, so I can relay it and say, hey, you know, for $170 in points that I got, I only got $90 in cards or whatnot. So we'll see. At the end of the day, we'll report back and say.
It's not a bad return on investment, though.
No, and I mean, I spent like 800 points, I think, on these Devontae's so far. So I got about 6,900 points left to mess around with. I mean, Devontae Adams comes out next year and he, you know, gets a couple touchdowns early from Rodgers. I mean, they might be $20 cards each here. So,
yeah.
That might be $60 right there. Straight cash, homie, like Randy Moss would say. So
sweet.
We do have a giveaway. What I want to do is I want to give away a four packs of a new car. Give away a new car. want to give away some three Topps Spring Fever packs and a $25 gift card to mojobreak.com to the first person that calls in at 347-855-8815. So I don't know how many people we have listening in live. A lot of people listening on the podcast. We will have a podcast giveaway, maybe our next episode. So it'll be like an archive, call-in type thing. But once again, that number is 347-855-8815 to call in to win. It's three top Spring Fever packs, which will ship sealed, and a, $25 credit to use on mojobreak.com. So call in, first person to call in, we'll win that. I've got a few more. I know we're trying to keep this show to about an hour every week because, you know, I don't know how the attention span for a two-hour show. We used to go 2 hours, so we're trying to keep it down to 1 hour. Man, these guys are they're each being real nice to each other, saying, you call, Trevor in general. Trevor had a question about who's the hockey player who will not sign their Padini redemptions? Do you guys know offhand?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know Julio Jones back in football was not signing for Panini for whatever reason. So, but yeah, that's kind of crazy. So that guy's auto probably will go up. So, it looks like you guys both called in. You know what I'm going to do to be fair, because I don't know who called in first. It's actually real close. I am going to use random.org on you guys right now. So, and see who wins this. So it's between 813 and 479. We're going to use random.org. I know you can't see my screen, but 813 and 479, random.org. We're going to go three times, once, twice, and the third time. 813 is the winner. We're going to bring you on right now. 813, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big bowl wrong.
Oh, nice.
What's going on? How you doing?
In, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. So you already used the site, so now you have $25 to spend on whatever you want, like your was it the Tampa Bay Rays?
Yes, sir.
Nice. So cool, man. Well, thanks for listening in, and we'll throw out those Spring Fever packs to your Bubba Miller as well, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
No
first
problem,
time listening to the show. I'm glad you guys had a lot of fun.
Oh, awesome, man. Well, we appreciate the good feedback.
All right, cool. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too.
Take care.
Bye. Cool. Another winner. Actually, I think this is the most people we've had in the chat in a while. Pretty much it was just, you know, like, guest 409, I remember. Guest 448 is a good fan of the show. Guest 455, we like you. And guest 471. Sending out our thank yous to those guests 455. I think guest 455 is a Red Sox fan. So, you know, I'm just guessing. But, you know, anyways, is there anything else you guys would like to cover before we end out the show for today?
I think that's good. I think that was a pretty productive show. Good to be back doing it. I think an hour time slot, and actually I think earlier in the morning works out a little bit better.
James did. I'm totally excited about Immaculate Football. I think the previews are amazing. Panini once again adding some new elements in, like helmet pieces and shoe pieces and stuff like that. I mean, the patches are absolutely insane. I am totally excited. I think it's going to take off. I think boxes will go a little bit higher. I'm excited to rip it. So that's going to be fun next week. So look forward to that. If you want to get in on a break, we have randoms and team style of Immaculate Football next week. If you go to mojobreak.com, you can save yourself 10% on team style by putting in the code MOJOBREAK. So that'll save you 10% on team style. It doesn't work on randoms, but it does save you on team style. So, yeah, that's totally exciting to look forward to next week. And I think it'll be received. I don't know if it'll be as well received as basketball, but I think it'll be well received. So basketball always has a more market for that. But it should be exciting. So hopefully we'll be talking about that next week. So I don't know if we're going to go every week. We will let you guys know. We're going to try to go bi-weekly on this. Unfortunately, with the way, there's just not a lot of stuff to talk about sometimes. I mean, the hobby, I mean, there's so many releases, and if there's a week without releases, there's not a whole lot to talk about. So maybe we will have a show next week because Immaculate is coming out. We'll be able to talk about that, which will be cool. And maybe the All-Star weekend, hopefully Steph Curry or Klay Thompson wins the 3-point contest. We'll be able to talk about that. But other than that, check out sportscardradio.com as well. Some news on the hobby. Check out mojobreak.com. I'm going to use a little Gary Payton plug here before we sign off.
Hey, y'all, this is Gary Payton. Hey, mojobreak.com. They just came up.
Oh. But other than that, would you guys, Ryan, did you have anything to promote or anything like that you'd like to add on before we close out the show?
No, I got to come up with some things to promote, though. So next time you ask me, I've got a whole line of websites to go to, click on, pyramid schemes and all kinds of different things. So next week, look for that.
Nice. Dan, that's anything else to say?
No, I think we're good to go. I was actually looking at one of our mixes tomorrow. We're doing one of the mixes as 2006 Bowman Originals?
Yes. That's going to be cool. So, yeah, check that out. We got mixers tomorrow. I forgot to promote that. We got mixers tomorrow. They're actually on sale. We got Contenders on sale. We got a case of Five Star and Chrome. Actually, tonight we're live, though. I forgot about that. Billy's live tonight with Fire Playbook, 2012 Playbooks. You can get that Luck, that Wilson, Chase those, and some NBA. So they'll be live from Mojo, Ohio tonight. But, yes, we'll be live tomorrow with five or six breaks, and then we got the weekend of breaks as well, and then we'll be back next week with Immaculate. So check all that out, and I actually do not have an outro, so that's going to be kind of weird. Maybe I'll
You could just sing.
I could sing? Acapella. Like what song?
I don't know. Let's see.
I mean, the only song that sounds like a closing would be like a bye, bye, bye.
You could sing. Like,
I don't know if we have a lot of NSYNC fans out there.
You can do Genie in the Bottle. I had to do that on the air, so you can do that.
Yeah, but I didn't lose a bet, so. So no, we'll save the singing for an episode. Maybe we'll have a contest for that one. So, but maybe we'll end it out with I'm just plugging all the people that said our names. You guys are like, man, well, this a name dropper here. Drop that name. I got to pick it up. But we'll use a little DJ Cool to end out the show, and we'll see you guys next week. So later from MojoBreak.com and SportsCardRadio.com. We'll see you guys. I think we'll have a show next week. Follow us on Twitter at Card Radio Live or to find out all the details, and we'll check you guys later. Peace.
Later.
Let me clear my throat. This is the legendary DJ Cool. Big shouts out to everybody representing MojoBreak.com. That's right. Look them up on the internet, man. MojoBreak.com.
Peace.